That's what's happening right now. This message is coming to your heart and your life and your home right now because God yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in you. He wants you. He loves you. He won't let you go. He comes after you. He chases you down. He tracks you down. You can run, you cannot hide. He continues to pursue you in spite of you.
We are back in Isaiah 55 today as we continue the message titled, Come Everyone Who Thirsts. What a great title, an invitation, a personal invitation, no less, from the Lord to come and be satisfied. His promise that he will care for you. Let me read the first verse in Isaiah 55 for you because I feel like it really sets the stage for this passage so well. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The heart of God in this verse is so beautiful because he wants to bless, he wants to give, he wants you to be satisfied in him. So let's hear more from this amazing passage from our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Banquet is free. Come without money and without price. He who has no money, it says. Again, three times in verse one, the Lord says, the banquet is free. The banquet is free. It's free. And what is this pointing to? This is pointing ultimately to the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ says again, all who come to me, they shall know life and salvation, and I have paid for their sin and been raised from the dead. Whoever believes in me will receive the payment for their sins and inherit everlasting life. It's amazing in Revelation 19, again, as we see some biblical theology here from Isaiah 55 and all the way to the end of Scripture, Revelation 19, again, picturing the messianic banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How? All because of what the Lamb did, the Lamb of God. Jesus paid it all. And because he paid it all, we enter without price. Come all who thirst. Come all who want salvation. Come all who believe in by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to never die again. It costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. It is free. And the invitation is received as you and I choose to believe. We have to see the heart of God within this verse. Again, four times, come, come. Our holy God says, I prepared a feast. The banquet is ready. Come and eat. Come and eat. The heart of our God, he calls us to life. I absolutely marvel that the God of the universe, the infinite, holy, sovereign, majestic God, that even today again, he woos you. He woos you. Church, you got to wake up. Like, you got to understand what's happening. The awesome, perfect, holy God of the universe extends his love to you again today, inviting you to himself. You can't yawn through that invitation. You can't think about something that's happening later on today. You can't be preoccupied with your useless entertainment when the living God is inviting you to a greater affection and satisfaction and purpose. This is something that makes you sit up straighter and have eyes wide open and ears ready to listen. Like, how much more will it take again today in his grace and love and mercy and incredible purpose and kindness? Once again, he woos you and me to himself. What do you and I deserve? We deserve death, punishment, and hell. And what are we extended? Everlasting life and intimacy with the Father of glory and the King of the universe. God, please give your church ears to hear and hearts to respond by your Spirit to receive the invitation to feast. Here's the second part of this invitation. It's an invitation to satisfaction. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. This verse speaks to the very center of our lives. It's amazing to me. You know, again, 2,700 years ago, how relevant the word of God is right now. Basically what verse 2 is saying, why are you spending your money for that which will rot? Why do you extend your labor on that which will just end us up being so miserable? Why do you continue to do that? Why do you live for that which moth and rust destroy, when life in the Lord and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can give you love, joy, and peace? It's a story that maybe you've heard before, but Billy Graham told a story on greed. He said, a party of tourists traveling through the Death Valley of California discovered the skeleton of a man who died on the drifting dunes of the desert, and clutched in his bony hand was a chunk of mica whose pyrites resembling gold had deceived him. He had mistaken the yellow streaks in this rock for gold. On a scrap of paper under the skeleton were written the words, died rich. He had thought he was rich, but he starved to death, lost and alone. Such is the deceitfulness of riches. And that's such a story of millions and millions every day who live for that which will never last, ever. And this is what verse 2 is saying to us. You know, I wonder if Jesus had Isaiah 55 verse 2 in mind when he said this in John chapter 6, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Isn't that such a valuable piece of wisdom? Do not work for the food that perishes. Do not live for that which will be eaten by worms and maggots and disintegrate in the end, but rather labor for that which leads to eternal life. This is exactly why God says to us today, again, in verse 2, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? O church, let us not waste our lives by scrounging for scraps of garbage in the back alley. Let us not do that when the banquet awaits. Let us even now confess our worldly appetites that lead to nothing. Can we do that? Like, can it mean if we had the transparency in this room for the amount of pursuits that are earthly and worldly and sinful and valuing nothing in eternal, if we put all that together in a pile right now from this room, there'd be so much for us to confess, so much for us to own, so much for us just to admit to, yes, Lord, I have been laboring for that which does not satisfy. And many of us, like, we know it's true. Like, we kind of in the battle and we recognize it, and yet we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to continue to seek him who actually satisfies, and we fall back into sin and fall back into sin. Can we confess our sensuality that has placed parasites upon our souls? Parasites that eat us away from the inside and devastate our affections and ruin our singing and take away our love for the Lord. Can we confess our obsession with earthly possessions that prostitute our hearts to a demonic system of greed and covetousness and evil? Can we confess such things that we are so often obsessed with that which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ himself? Our love for money, our love for self that empties us of all spiritual power. You cannot serve both God and money. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It quenches his power within our lives. And why is this true? Verse 2 tells us it does not satisfy. It does not satisfy. It's right there. I always remember the quote, loved it so much. The loneliest moment in life is when you've just experienced what you thought was the ultimate and it lets you down. The loneliest moment in life is when you just experience what you thought was the ultimate and it lets you down, because it always does. It always does. Unless it's rooted in Jesus Christ. That's why when one of the sports teams that I cheer for loses again, I turn to my boys and I say, isn't it so awesome to cheer for Jesus Christ? because he's forever undefeated and he'll never lose. I'm being serious. Like when the world tries to prop up hope in something and it lets you down and you're like, there it is again. And I trick myself into thinking somehow this is gonna work. And then you turn to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one whom at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is 100% certain, guaranteed. He cannot lose. He is that awesome. I'm so glad I belong to him. Robbie, would you love Jesus more, please? Would you put, Robbie, your hope more in Christ? Robbie, would you look and be satisfied more and more and more in the realities of the Lord Jesus Christ? But again, hear the word of the Lord, the voice of God. Listen diligently in verse 2. See that second half of verse 2? Listen diligently, right? See what God's doing? He knows his people are so often deaf. He knows how distracted we are. He knows how easily we get lured away by the things and that entice us and the little trinkets surrounding us. He's like, listen. Listen diligently. Eat what is good, church. Delight yourself in that which is rich food, a food only found in the Lord. Our world is replete with emptiness and spiritual starvation. And the Lord says to you today, listen, my child. Stop being a fool. Eat and delight yourself in me, he says. The Lord provides in abundance. But listen, we have to want him more than our sin. It's the bottom line. We have to want him more than our sin. And for some right now, in this message, in this word, by the Holy Spirit, there's a laser beam right now of the light of the Holy Spirit that is like pinpointing you right in the heart right now. And it has been now for a few minutes. There's a laser beam of Holy Spirit application and conviction that has hit you where maybe it's most important. How we respond to this moment will determine so much what happens from this moment. Obedience is so key. Obedience unlocks the power of God. Obedience allows us to see the grace of God. Obedience allows us to experience the freedom of God. When the Holy Spirit says, repent of this and pursue this godliness, and we sit there and do nothing. See, in that moment, the opportunity to respond with the Spirit of God says, that will define you and me so often. And that's what he's doing even now. He's like, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to satisfaction, to a feast. I'm inviting you to love. I'm inviting you to blessing. I'm inviting you to joy. I'm inviting you to myself. To stand there and just listen and do nothing, that grieves the heart of God. And as so often, may we be different. Please, Lord, help us. An invitation to feast, an invitation to satisfaction. Thirdly, this, an invitation to life. Look at verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. So three verbs here, okay? Three verbs. Incline, come, hear. Incline your ear, come to me, and hear. Why? Why is that so important? Here's why. That you might live. That your soul may live. The word live here, again in the original, live is to be alive, to stay alive, to revive, to recover, to return to life. Revival. Incline, come here, that you might be revived in the Lord. God, bring rivers in the desert. Revive us that we might live as we incline and come and hear. In verse 3, there's the promise of the everlasting covenant through David, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What is that? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus. It's the good news. It's the promise of life. Salvation from sin, raised from the dead because of what Jesus Christ would come at Christmas, live a perfect life, die a horrible death for our sins, bear the wrath of God, be raised from the dead, and all who believe in him, they too shall be raised to newness of life, therefore receiving an everlasting covenant. This covenant here in verse 3, notice it overcomes all human failure. This covenant is eternal in its duration. This covenant is unstoppable in its fulfillment. The invitation is to come The promise is life. Incline your ear and come to me. It's very reminiscent of Matthew 11 on the screen for you. Excuse me, Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me. He's the only one. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And the promise is, I will give you rest. Rest from what? Rest from the weariness and the struggle and the exhaustion of sin. Rest from no purpose. Rest from agony in this life. Rest from fear and crippling anxiety. Rest from hopelessness. Rest from the fear of death. Rest, eternal rest in Jesus Christ. Who here is exhausted from sin? Like right now, you're here and you're exhausted from your sin. I remember that moment in my life. No answers. I couldn't find any answers. I tried everything. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Until I met the one Jesus Christ. And he gives rest. Who here needs to receive the invitation to life itself? You're exhausted from sin. Stop running. Stop denying. Stop excusing. Stop rationalizing. Stop with the world already. Like, it just sucks. Stop. It doesn't work and you know it. Jesus Christ is the answer. Who here is terrified of death? Truth be told, you're terrified of death. You don't have to be. Jesus Christ came to defeat death. And all who receive his invitation, they will never die again. This is his invitation to life. Incline your ear, come to me, and hear. Why? That your soul may live. Jesus offers forgiveness and eternal rest. An invitation to feast, invitation of satisfaction, invitation to life. And now this, I think this is especially important for us today. Lastly, this, an invitation to return, church. An invitation to return. Look at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Isn't that so interesting? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, to our God, that he will abundantly pardon. I want you to see God's heart here. I so much want you to see God's heart here in our passage today. God keeps inviting his people to seek him. See that? He keeps inviting his people to draw near. He keeps inviting his people to understand he is the source of life and satisfaction, that he is the one we must return to. I read again this week in James chapter 4, my own personal readings. In James 4, it says that God yearns jealously over the spirit he has made to dwell in us. That always blows my mind. Just like we've heard already today, God yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in me and you. That's what's happening right now. This message is coming to your heart and your life and your home right now because God yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in you. He wants you. He loves you. He won't let you go. He comes after you. He chases you down. He tracks you down. You can run, you cannot hide. He continues to pursue you in spite of you. He continues to offer love and grace and forgiveness, purity and satisfaction and hope and strength and power and purpose and life. Like right now, this moment, that's what he's doing. That is awesome. It is so humbling. He tracks you down to give you himself. Notice in verse 6, two different calls. Seek the Lord and call upon him. So interesting when it says, seek him while he may be found and call on him while he is near. What does that mean? What does it mean while he may be found? This is very, very important. This means do not take the nearness of God for granted. Do not take for granted the very fact that you are here right now in this situation, receiving this word, this invitation from the Lord in such a personal and powerful way. There are millions of people sleeping in this morning not hearing this. Millions of people who have no opportunity today by their own choice to hear such an invitation from God Himself to love and grace and life. Why you? Why me? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. But here you are today, here, right now, hearing this under the providence and sovereignty of God. This means there are certain moments in our lives where God is particularly near. How do we fully explain that? It's on us. We come, we go. Do not waste them. Do not waste the opportunity of God's nearness. A lot of people said, I want to have my fun, and then later on in life, I'll consider seeking the Lord. That's a very, very dangerous game to play. Again, you may not live past today. If the Lord is speaking to you today, seek Him, call upon His name while He is near. It's undeniably what the text tells us. There are times where God is especially near. But listen, the Bible is promising us, and I even read this morning, judgment is going to come. Judgment will come. Is God near to you right now? Respond. Respond. Like, don't wait another second. Respond. Don't wait another second. Jesus, I receive. Jesus, I seek. Jesus, I love. Jesus, I need. Jesus, save me. Is the Lord near to you right now? Respond. In Jesus' name, respond today. Respond in this moment. You do not know what life will bring, and God has appointed you right now, in this time, in this service, for this message. Do not take His nearness for granted. How do we seek Him? Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So the number one thing we do as we return to the Lord is repentance. The wicked forsakes his way. The number one path, the quickest path in returning to the Lord is genuine repentance. We must reject behaviors that silence His voice. We must hate our attitudes that quench His spirit. We must separate from influences that block His light. We must forsake the sin that ruins our intimacy with Him. What sin must you forsake today? What sin grieves the Holy Spirit in your life today? I mean, individually, it's the most important thing you and I can do. Repentance. And then how about collectively? What sin is in our midst today as a church? What sin right now in this room grieves the Spirit of God? What sin have we allowed into our temples that the Holy Spirit is absolutely shocked by and cannot believe that has entered in alongside His presence? What sin places obstacles in this room right now for this church that's preventing the full flow of the Holy Spirit of God, that we might see rivers in the desert? That's why repentance is so needed, because we forsake our wickedness that we might clear the path for a genuine return to the Lord Jesus Christ, where we are filled by the Spirit of God. Can you imagine if each one of us truly sought to forsake our wickedness and cleanse ourselves through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ from all unrighteousness? Can you imagine the work of the Lord in our midst? Can you imagine the clarity and the purity? Can you imagine the power that would be displayed as His Spirit has full reign to work within each individual here? Can you imagine the singing? Can you imagine the prayer? Can you imagine the unity? Can you imagine the purity? Can you imagine the glory? Can you imagine the glory? Holy Spirit, show us what sin grieves you, that we might return to you, that we might forsake our sin, that we might return to you. Second half of verse 7, let him return to the Lord. And notice the response of our awesome, compassionate Father, that he may have compassion on him. Return to our God, and he will not just pardon, he will abundantly pardon. Church, look up here for a second. The arms of the Father are wide open. The arms of the Father, you seek me, you forsake your sin. I will have compassion on you, he says. I will not just pardon you, I will abundantly pardon you. But you have to confess your sins and you have to seek the Lord. And that is all part of returning to him. Church, he invites us. The heart of God is extending an incredible invitation to himself today. Oh, what will our response be? Seek the Lord. Forsake your wickedness. Return to him. I pray by the Holy Spirit today that we will throw our stupid sin into the trash. Holy Spirit, would you allow us? Would you bring conviction at least to us that we might desire once and for all to throw our stupid, devastating sin in the trash? Let us confess our love for the Father. Let us marvel at his grace yet again. Let us be amazed at his wooing and his pursuit of us. Let us take off the sinful weights that are holding us down and keeping us back. Let us remove the sin that easily entangles, Hebrews 12, that we might run the race with endurance. The Lord invites us today. How will we respond? Let's bow our heads. Just try to be still where you are. We're going to respond with a very beautiful song that's so appropriate to our message today. I am so thankful for a church family that listens to a difficult message so well, and I believe understands the heart behind it. These are critical moments, and Holy Spirit, only you can do what needs to be done. I pray you will find obedience within your children today, Father. Please, may it be so. Lord, just lead us now in these next few minutes, what you would like us to do, how you would like us to respond specifically. But I pray that we would listen to these words. And as the song is sung over you, you can do that. You can listen, you can sing, you can sit, you can stand, you can kneel. I just pray that we would really, really hear and we would take it to heart. And again, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's not waste this moment. Lord, lead us, I pray.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-